Okay, everybody. Hope everybody's feeling good. Today's daf is Ma'akot and Daf Ches. We're here at the bottom of Zion Amud Beis in the middle of a discussion. If you remember yesterday, what the Gemara had said, right, we understand that the declaration of Tzaras, right, is dependent on the Kohen. The Kohen's proclamation determines whether someone has Tzaras or not. And as such, the Kohen can delay, can kind of push off his declaration if the cases dictate. So you had a machlokas in terms of how you know that from. Rabbi Yehuda, right, if you remember, had said, the pasuk says, Uveyom hira osbo, on the day in which the Kohen sees the Nega. And we assume, right, that if there's a day where he can see the Nega, and there's a day where he should not see the Nega, i.e. on Chol HaMoed, as we've been discussing, or specifically our topic, right, Chol HaMoed, and other, and we talked about Sheva Brachos, right, that's the Kohen would kind of delay, and only then check out the Tzaras. Rebbe had said you don't need that, because the Pasuk says, by Nige Batim, right, by houses, right, Tzaras on houses, with Tzivah Kohen, Upinu Savayis, right, that they can, that you can wait, you can delay, right, to declare it's Tzaras until everybody takes out all the stuff out of the, all the Tamei, potentially Tamei stuff out of the house, right, to save, let's say money, or to save all the things from becoming Tamei. The Gemara had said, Maybe Nahu, what's the difference? What's a Nafkamina? So Abaye had said, there's no Nafkamina whatsoever. It just depends on how you darshan out the Psukim, the Torah. And Rav had said, no, the Nafkamina would be, if you, the Kohen would delay for Dvar Rishus, right? The examples that we gave before, right, were that specifically Rabbi Yehuda learned for by Sheva Brachos or for Chol HaMoed. So if you have a mitzvah, so then you can delay proclaiming a Tzaras. But if it's a Dvar Rishus, if it's something that's not related to a mitzvah, so then you have to declare a Tzaras right away. And according to Rebbe, right, you can, just like buy a house, you can delay declaring a Tzaras to take items out, so too by any other reason, right, the Kohen could theoretically delay in declaring something Tami. So the Gemara says, they're just going weiter in that conversation, Rabbi Yehuda may also look on Rinan, right? Why doesn't Rabbi Yehuda learn it from Nige Batim, from the halacha of, from the pasuk of Vitziva Kohen Upiyan HaSavayis? So that's because the Chiddushu, right, that is a Chiddush, that is something that is a chiddush, I don't know how you translate a chiddush, something that you, well, we'll see, we have to define in a second, but da ha'itim ve'avanim ba'alma lo matamu, because in general, sticks and stones, right, are not tameh, v'hacha matamu, but here, right, when Tzaras is on a house, they are, in fact, tameh. So since that's a chiddush, since that's something that's, I guess, new, we have to define in a second, something that's new, so we don't learn out to other things. The halacha is that anytime you have a chiddush, in halacha, right, we don't extend that chiddush elsewhere, because it's something we know wouldn't necessarily have known. So the Torah tells us, you know, that it is true, but it's not necessarily applicable. You can't just extend that to other things. Now, the obvious question is, well, how do you define a chiddush? Because something that is new that you would not have known without the Torah telling you, is that what it means? Because if that's true, so then, like, you know, 85% of the Torah's halachos are chiddushim. Right? You can never learn one halacha for the next. And yet we do that all the time. We always take psukim and learn from here to there and halachos and compare them. And we have all these ways we darshan out the Torah. Right? If you tell me that a chiddush is something that is you would not have necessarily known without the pasuk, well, some of the psukim, some of the halachos, like murder, like the Seretz HaDibros, this week's parsha, you could probably figure out most of the Seretz HaDibros, but everything else, right, probably not. Right? You would not necessarily. Is everything a chiddush? So my Rebbe, Rabbi Yonasan Sachs, so he used to always say, that a chiddush is something that goes against normal rules of the Torah. Meaning we have, the Torah sets up certain rules, and then a chiddush comes and tells us that actually there's an exception to that rule. So for example, over here, right, normally, right, wood and stones are not matame, as Rashi says in the first line. But the chiddush is that if Tzaras appears on a house, so then they actually do become tame. Right, so that is a chiddush. So that chiddush we're not going to extend to elsewhere, to, let's say, Tzaras on a person. Right, we're not going to extend that halacha anywhere else. That's why Rabbi Yehuda doesn't use the pasuk by Nige Batim, by Tzaras on a house, because it itself, the fact that it can exist, is a chiddush, because he doesn't want to apply that to elsewhere. Okay, fine. For Rabbi, Rabbi says, it's trich. No, you need, right, both those psukim. You need the pasuk of, where is it here? Where is it? V'tzivah kohen upinu savayis, right? The kohen has to empty the house, right? And you also need the pasuk of uveyom hira osbo, on the day that the kohen checks out the nega. even though they theoretically are contradictory. Right? These because of Rachmana Uviyom Herospo, because if the Torah would have just said on the day which the Kohen sees the Nega, so Havamina Ladvar Mitzvah in the Dvar Shuslo, right? And as we said before, you might have thought that that only applies if there is a mitzvah like Shem Brachos or Cholamoid, and in that case, right, the Kohen should refrain. But otherwise, many in the Dvar shows maybe he should not refrain. So therefore, Kasa Rachmana Vitzivah Kohen, right? Therefore, the Torah told us that the Kohen tells everybody to take the stuff out of the house before he declares a tummy. He can even delay in telling us that it's tzaras in a rishus, in a rishus situation. Because of Rechman of Tzivah Kohen, and if we only would have told you that this pasuk by Nigei Batim, Havamina, you might have thought to say that Hani in the Lav Tuma de Gufe. Right? That is only applicable, you can only delay in declaring something tzaras if it's not tzaras on a guy's body. Havamina Tuma de Gufe, but if tzaras is actually on the guy's body, you might have thought that he has to see it right away, that he has to declare it tzaras, so therefore, tzricha, therefore you need the other pasuk as well. Okay, fine. Let's just finish off that discussion about how each one learns. Amar Mar, let's go. Let's say something we just said again a moment ago. Yesh yom she'ata roabo, v'yesh yom she'iata roabo. Not a moment ago, but really yesterday. At the end of yesterday's daf, we said the pasuk of v'yom hereos bo on the day which the kohen sees the nega. So that implies that there's a day where he can see the tzaras, and there's a day that he doesn't. This gemara says my mashma. Well, where do you get that from? Maybe it just means that on the day the Kohen sees the Nega, right, he declares a Tameh. Right? Well, how do you know that there's a specific set day, not a set day, but a specific day where he can, a specific day where he can't? So Rabbi says, Im Kain, if that's all you wanted to teach us, that it happens to be the day the Kohen sees the Nega, he declares a Tameh, Lichtov Rachmana Biyom. Right, my uviyom. What do you mean uviyom? And on the day. So therefore, shmamina yeshiyom shetarobo, yeshiyom sheyatarobo. So the extra vav there tells us that there's a day that he should see the menega and there's a day that he does not have to. Rava Amar Rava says no. Kulukray seiruhu. The whole word, the whole pasuk is extra. Dimkein lechtov rachmana uveheros. Right, it doesn't have to say on the day in which the Kohen sees the Nega. It could just say when he sees the Nega. So my uveyom, what does it mean? What is it when it tells me on the day when he sees the Nega? Shema mina yeshiyom shetarobo, yeshiyom sheyatarobo. Okay, if Abaye, what does Abaye do with the word biyom? That teaches me biyom uvelo laila. It has to happen during the day and not at night. For Rava, okay, so Rava biyom uvelo menale. How does Rava know that he can only see tzaras during the daytime? So nafkalei, he learns that out from mikol mare enei hakohen. Right, it has to, the tzaras has to be examined to the eyes of the kohen. So if it's dark out, so he can't see it. So that obviously has to be during the day. Abaye, what does Abaye do with that pasuk? Okay, that teaches me lemute suma bachas meinov, to tell me that a kohen only has one eye. He is not able to see tzaras halachically. Okay, so shouldn't Rava also use that pasuk to teach me that a kohen with one eye is no good? You're right. Actually, Rava does use that pasuk to teach me that the enei, the two eyes, right? Both of the kohen has to have both of his eyes. Okay, but then we're back to square. Well, not really square one, but let's say square three. Right? What about biyom v'lov laila minale? So where does Rava learn the halacha that you have to see tzaras during the day and not nighttime? Right? You tried to use that pasuk a second ago. Now you tell me that teaches me that that a kohen can only have only a kohen with both eyes can see tzaras. So nafkale mi kinega nira liba bayis. Right, the guy reports to the kohen, I saw something like a nega on my house. Right, so the Gemara says, the Gemara darshins li velola ori. I saw it myself. The homeowner says, and not my light, the fire or whatever the torch I was using. Right, I saw it with my own eyes, implying that it was during the daytime. V'abaye, okay, so that seems like a good source. What does Abaye do with that? He says, Imi Hasam, if that would have been the source, Havamina Hanimili Tumah Delav Legufe, that you might have thought that's only applicable to the Tumah that's on a house. But if the tumah is on his body, if you might have thought that also, he can also use a torch. He can use his own light. Therefore, kamash malan, as it teaches me that you cannot see nige batim or regular tzaras, right, tzaras on a house or tzaras on a body, right, during the daytime. That has to be during the daytime. It cannot be at nighttime. Okay, new mishnah now. Ve'od amar Rabbi Meir, right? Again, Rabbi Meir, if you remember the end of the last mishnah. What is Rabbi Meir's last Mishnah? Right, has the heter of Ronas and the Gayim lahakela v'lola achme, right? He said the Kohen has the option, right, to say either that the person who has Taras, we're going to be Megil, or you shouldn't say anything. So when Rabbi Meir has a Kula, so Rabbi Meir also has a further Kula, right? Malakit Adam Atzamos Abe V'imo V'pnei Shesim Chohilo, a person is allowed to rebury his parents' bones, because when a person reburies them, not just randomly, but if you look at Rashi, to Kivrei Avosov, right, to the where all of his ancestors are buried. So I guess for whatever reason, the parents were not buried there. So that when he reburies them, so that is a simcha for that person to have their parents, right, come to the, you know, final resting place. I guess finally, right, the second time, I guess, right. Rabbi Yossi Omer, Rabbi Yossi says, Aval hu lo. Aval, oh, I'm sorry, Evil, Aval, Evil Hulo. No, actually, that's a mourning, M-O-U, right? Mourning, that's a mourning for him, right? And obviously, we don't do that on Chol HaMoed, right? You have to maintain, as we pointed out, you have to maintain the simcha, right? So if it's a simcha to kind of like rebury a nifter, so Seder, that's what Rabbi Meir argues. Rabbi Yossi says, no, that's a day of sadness, so we're not going to obviously allow you to do that on Chol HaMoed. Lo Yorer Adam Al Meso. A person should not cause others to be. You should not get. We'll see exactly what that is. But Yorer is kind of like to cause a hesped or cause, a mourning for a person who passes away. And he shouldn't have a hesped. I mean, a guy going around giving hespedim kind of to all the relatives. Before 30 days, and we'll see exactly what's going on in that last line of the Mishnah. Okay, so the Gemara said again, Rav Meir had said that you can rebury a parent on the Chol HaMoed, shesh simchu lo, or Rimini ask you a steer from a brisa, malakit atzmos, avivimah, reizem is abo oleim kol yom, right, ule'erev imis abo oleim, if for whatever reason a parent's body is reburied, so that's a day of mourning for the children, right, not at night, meaning just one day, but not at night, but it's one day of mourning, so what do you mean to tell me it's a simcha? Right? Rav Chista even says, even if it's gathered together in a bag, meaning even if you're just literally taking the burial shrouds or the coffin or whatever, right? Even if you're not actually dealing with the body itself proper, but you're dealing with what the body's inside of, right? That's also, right? It's a day of mourning. So what do you mean it's a day of simcha? Not because the reburial is a simcha, but because there is a simchas yontif, meaning it's not enough of an avel, right, to shter his yontif, right, to mess up, right, his simchas yontif, right, it's something he has to take care of, but it's not a heavy mourning that will contradict and counteract his simchas yontif. So therefore, according to Rabbi Meir, at least it's going to be mutar. According to Rabbi Yossi, right, obviously it's not. Okay, lo ya'ara al meso. The Gemara says, "My lo ya'ara al meso." What does that mean? So Amar Rav. They used to hire a savdana, someone who give eulogies, right? And he'd go all around the Marava, all around Eretz Yisrael, and Amri, and he would say, Yivchon Ame Kol Riri Liba, right? Let all the nation cry. No, it could be Ime. Okay, I'm not sure either way, but everybody should cry. Anybody who's bitter of heart, meaning he's a guy who would kind of you would pay to kind of go around, not the town crier per se, but like the town eulogizer, and kind of organize the people to kind of mourn for certain people. Okay, fine. We're not familiar with that so much, but okay. Viter. Call them a regular shloshim yom. You shouldn't again hire someone to say eulogies 30 days before the regal. So my shnas shloshim yom. What is this 30 days? What's going on over here? So Rav Kahana, Rav Kahana said, Amar Rav Yehuda, Marav Maisa. It was a story. But Adam Echad Shekines Mos La'olos Regel. Guy was saving his money to go Olu Regel. We save our money for maybe winter vacation back then. Olu Regel, right? Go for the Yontif. Go to Yerushalayim. Cost a decent amount of money. So the guy was saving for that, right? I imagine it happened every year. He would put away money for that. Then it happened again after Sukkot and right after Pesach, etc. And Rubos Davdan, if Amad al Pesach Pesach, sure enough, a guy bringing eulogies, right, showed up, knocked on the door, started saying eulogies and whatever. And she gave him, right, the money they were saving. I guess it was expensive. So the guy was left with no money, and he wasn't all the regal. So Moses Shah, at that point, Amru, they said, they made it to Xer and Takana. Person shouldn't start doing this, right? Have these guys going around 30 days before the regal, right? It's not appropriate. People are saving money for a Leela regal. Okay. Shmuel, Amr Shmuel says, no, what's the 30 days? Lefisha ein hames mishtakach min alev shloshim yom, because a mace, right, kind of stays in a person's heart, right, obviously much longer, but it's heavy on a person's heart for 30 days, right, for the Gerashi, right, like, kaven de mace ein mishtakach min alev shloshim yom, since the person's since the person is obviously heavy on a person's heart is for 30 days, mafspido pachos b'shloshim yom lefnei regel, if they give a hesped less than 30 days before a regel, so also the misbe b'regel da'dayin lo shachu, right, he'll end up again hearing eulogies or thinking about that eulogy on Chol HaMoed, on the Yontif, right, and we don't want to have that. Again, you know, it's we don't want the person to be sad on the altar. So if it's gonna stay in his head or stay in his heart for 30 days, so we hold off on these types of hespedim. Obviously, this is not talking about a scenario where somebody just passed away, right? And you have a levaya, right? And then you have a shiva. We're talking about if a guy is going around giving hespedim, right? Someone passed away maybe a couple months ago, whatever. So we don't want to, you know, inform or reawaken feelings of mourning, right, during this period, right? Obviously, it's not talking about right, if someone passed away, right? He's due all the kavod and all the eulogies that he's due, right? That's not what we're talking about over here. Okay, my binayu, what's the difference between Shmuel and Rav? Again, Shmuel says that we don't want a person to remember the hesped on Chol HaMoed, and Rav simply said that it's a concern of money, right? We don't want people to be able to be all the rego. What's the difference? So obviously, you can binayu to kavod b'chino, right? Obviously, the difference is, right, if the guy's willing to do it for free, right, he's not collecting money, so. If it's going to Rav, is this just a money issue? So sure, you know, hesped away, right? Go for it. But if it's going to Shmuel, that we don't want to, you know, mess up a guy's yontif, if it's mess up a simcha, so then that's going to be inappropriate. Okay, new Mishnah. Ein chofrin kuchen v'kvaros b'moed. We don't dig kuchen. A kuchen is like a crypt. As we'll see in a second, the difference between kuchen and kvaros is above ground or below ground. B'moed, we don't dig new ones in Chol HaMoed. Aval mechanchin es a kuchen b'moed, but you can kind of fix them up, and we'll see exactly what that means also. V'osin nivreches b'moed, you can also make a nivreches. Gemara will ask what a nivreches is. And it's basically, is the Gemara going to ask what that is? Oh, I take it back. Yeah, the Gemara will ask what that is, right? If you just look at Rashi, brecha shel kufsin, right? It means a laundry pool. Meaning that's why they used to obviously have pools and rivers. That's how you did the laundry. So you're allowed to make those on Chol HaMoed. Apparently, it's not such a tiochi yisera. As Rashi says, it's not such a big deal. Okay, the aron im ha-meis b'chatzar, and you're allowed to make an aron, a coffin, if the mace is there. If you look at Rashi, it's mutter if you have the mace and you have the wood right there, so then it's mutter, because people are not going to think that you're doing it for some other random purpose. They're going to obviously know that that someone passed away and you're making a coffin for them. Rabbi Yehuda says, Aser elen ken yeshimo nisarim. Sorry, Rabbi Yehuda is the one who says that that you also have to have the wood in the chatzar, just so that everybody knows, right, that they're making it for them. They're making it for that person, and it's not so much of a tircha. Okay, Gemara says, my kuchen and my kvaros, what's the difference between kuchen crypts and kvaros and burial plots and graves? I'm Rabbi Yehuda, kuchen b'chafira b'kvaros b'binyan. It's simply above ground or below ground. Kuchen are below ground, and kvaros are above ground. Right? Tanya Mahachi, we also learned that, right? Eilu kuchen v'eilu kvaros, kuchen b'chafira b'kvaros b'binyan. Right, again, whether you're talking about digging a hole in the ground, and not necessarily a hole, if I'm not mistaken, a kuchen is like a crypt proper. Let's just see if it's in Rashi. I'm not sure. But if I'm not mistaken, a kuchen is like not necessarily like we know, like that we have nowadays, just like a hole. It means like more like a kind of like a complex where you have several graves, I think, if I'm not mistaken. And obviously, a kever is a binyan, right? If you go, let's say, to the kvaros in the Warsaw ghetto and the big kever in Warsaw, so they have these big buildings where they have it seems like it's above ground, right? See, you have the whole definitely the matseva and the building are above ground. Is the mace actually in that matseva? That I don't know. That could be that the mace is buried in the ground, but it seems like it's buried above ground. In Eretz Yisrael, right now in Har HaMenuchos, they're having issues with space, so they're building these buildings, right, which are still technically connected to the karka. So it's not a problem halakhically. Just feels kind of off, right? But so you bury someone above ground. It's not a problem. Okay, fine. And so, Aval mechanchen is a kuchen, or you can fix up these crypts. Keitzer mechanchen, what do you do? I'm Rabbi Yehuda Shem Haya Oruch Mekatzro. If it was too long, you can make it smaller. Masnisa Tana. The Brisa says Marichbo or Marchibo. Right, or you can make it longer, or you can make it wider. Obviously, again, depending on the size of the nifter, right, you may have to adjust these previously dug plots. The Osin Nivrechas. You can make this, as we pointed out, a laundry pool. My Nivrechas. What is that? So Amar Yehuda Zu Bekia. It's a pool for laundry. Vaitanya didn't. Oh, one second. Then the Brisa says Nivrechas have Bekia. Right? Didn't we say that those seem to be two different things? If he lists it twice. Right, in separately in the Mishnah, so Amar Abayev, Itay Merav Kana Gia Ubar Gia. Right, simply depends on the size and the you know, sometimes you have two pools, one next to each other. So that's what it's talking about. It's the same idea. Just one is perhaps bigger or more mainstream than the other one. If an aron im hames bechatzer, you can make a coffin if the mace is there. Taneinu lahadat aron abanan. We learn similarly in the Braisa. Osin kol tzorchei hames. You can do anything you need for the mace. Gozdin lo se'aro, you cut their hair. Umechabzin es ksuso, you can clean his clothing. Osin lo aron menasrin umenusorim me'erev yomtiv. You can make him obviously a coffin, right? If you have, if it's not muktzah, right? Again, this is talking about on yotiv, or cholamayim. I'm sorry. If all the boards were ready before yontif, so then you can make the coffin even. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel Omer Af Mevi'in Eitzim Menasrin Betzina Bezoch Bezo. Shimon Gamliel says you can even bring wood and make it into boards, and then make the coffin inside your house. Right, again, that you're able to do this for covered amaze, right? Obviously, basically that. We don't want. Okay, fine. Say it again. Okay. Mishnah. The Mishnah says like this: Ain nosin nashim b'moed v'lo besulos v'lo amanos v'lo miyabim. Well, I guess a little too fast. We don't get married on cholamoid. Right? Pretty well known halacha. You don't marry a woman for the first time, not a virgin, and not an almana, not a widow, and we don't do yibum. Again, if Rachman Atzlan, a person's brother, passes away without children, so the wife is technically supposed to marry the other brother, okay, then we don't do yibum, and pesha simcha hilo, because it is a simcha. Well, obviously, I have to talk about exactly what that means, right? There are several reasons why we don't do it that the Gemara is going to point out, but. The most famous one being the Ein Marvim Simcha with Simcha. We don't want to combine Simchas. Right? Since it's a Simcha for the people getting married, and there's a Simcha on Chol HaMoed, right? You have a combination of the two, right? That's we want to make sure that you have the Simcha on Chol HaMoed and on Yontif, as opposed to any other competing Simcha. Avo Machzuhu is Grushoso, but a person is allowed to remarry a woman that he may have divorced. As Rashi says, right, it may not. It's not as big of a simcha that it will kind of override the simcha of Chol HaMoed. Also, isha tachshita b'moed, a woman can kind of get her makeup done on Chol HaMoed. Rabbi Yehuda says. Lo tasur mepinishin nivul hulo. She shouldn't put. It's not tasur. Tasud. She shouldn't put sid. She shouldn't put plaster or lime. That's a way to get the hair off, right? Because one, it's disgusting for her, meaning when she's wearing that stuff, it is disgusting, I guess. And again, she's not going to be, Chol HaMoed, we don't want her to look disgusting. Hadyo tofer kedarko, a regular, normal person can kind of sew normally, right, without proper skill. But v'ha'uman, but if you have a tailor, so ma'achliv, he has to kind of sew in a strange way. U'misargin is amitos, and you can tie together the beds. Beds used to be made out of, let's say, a wooden frame, and you'd have these leather strings or straps tied across them. So you're allowed to tie them, says the Mishnah. Rabbi Yosef Mematchin, you're not allowed to tie them, but you can tighten. Meaning you can, as we'll do that, not tomorrow, I don't remember if it's tomorrow or the next day, but we'll talk about Mematchin, basically what that means is that you can't really tie them, but you can tighten them. You can make them straighter. So that the bed will be a little bit more supportive. So the Gemara says immediately, right, as we said, who cares? Again, we said you're not allowed to get married on Chol HaMoed because it's a simcha. Right, so who cares? Right, what's the difference? Why is that? Right, as we explained it, but at face value, what's the problem with being happy on Chol HaMoed? Right, you should be happy on Chol HaMoed. So Amar Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, V'chein Amar Rabbi Elazar, Amar Rabbi Yosha, Amar Rabbi Elazar, Amar B'chanina, Lefi She'in Marvin Simcha V'Simcha. Right, we don't want to combine Simchas. We want the Simcha that you have. It should be for the yontif. Another reason, Rabba Bar Ravun Amar, Mipnei Shemaniach Simchas Regel V'Osek B'Simchas Yishto. Right, similar, but the person will discard his simcha for the yontif, completely, and only right have the simcha with his wife. Amalei Bailer of Yosef, Hader Rabba Bar Ravuna, De Ravu. Really, what Rabbi Rahuna said really is Rav Shita. Damar Rav Daniel Bar Katina Amar Rav, right? Minayin she'ein nosin noshin b'moed. How do you know you can't get married in Chol Moed? Shnamar v'samachta b'chagecha, right? You have to be happy on the Yontif, right? Chagecha v'lo v'ishtecha. You have to, the simcha has to come from the holiday, right? And not from the Rebbetzin. Ula Amar Mipnei HaTorach. Ula says no, because anybody ever got, if you ever got married, you know it's a tremendous pain. Not chas v'shalom, not a pain, but there's so much that goes into getting married, right? And so much you have to do, right? We don't want tircha yisera, all this work, all this effort, all this stress, right? We don't want that to be dealt with. Let's just do the last one before we get to the questions. Rav Yitzchak Nafka Amar, the last answer is Mipnei Bittul Piriya Verivya, because you're not going to have Pru Revu. What does that mean? Right? I mean, if you're a person in Chol HaMoed, right? Again, people would wait to get married in Chol HaMoed. Right? Again, back then, again, it sounds ridiculous, Baruch Hashem, in the years where we have so much, but back then there was not so much food and there was not so much wealth. And if people could get married in Chol HaMoed, well, you're having all these sudas, right, on Yontif and Chol HaMoed, you have all this food that you're ready for, so people would just, everybody would get married in Chol HaMoed. So there would be you would not have Pru Revu the rest of the year, right? People would push off a wedding, right, for, I don't know, for 6 months, just because they, unfortunately, weren't wealthy enough or, you know, to be able to have a big wedding, and then, right, let's say food for Shabbos, and food for Chol HaMoed, and food for Yontif, etc. So Chazal, basically, said that you can't get married in Chol HaMoed, because otherwise, right, everybody will get married, in Chol HaMoed. Okay, fine, let's stop here, and we'll go back to the Hilgi Shas tomorrow, right? Have a great, we'll continue with this, but we'll have a great day and night, depending on where you're listening to this.